The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the News and Observer. Today's stories include Durham to give out $9.6 million in rent relief, and states push jobless to return to work. And we'll begin with Durham to give out $9.6 million in rent relief, but county needs more, official says. Renters in Durham County can start applying for the county's $9.6 million COVID-19 rent relief program starting Monday. But the county needs more to make up for lost income due to the pandemic, a county official said. Ben Rose, director of the Durham County Department of Social Services, said the estimated need for rent relief due to the pandemic in Durham County is $40 million. We have to be honest, it's going to be a race, Rose told the News and Observer. It will definitely not be covered nearly to the need. Durham had a housing crisis before the pandemic, and it's been made even worse with the pandemic. As of 2019, 49% of renter households in Durham County were cost-burdened, meaning they spent more than 30% of their household income on rent and utilities, according to the NC Housing Coalition. The $9.6 million program, a partnership between Durham County and the City of Durham, is funded through federal COVID stimulus money from December. Since both the city and county met the population threshold, they were able to apply for direct allocation instead of going through the state. Rose said the county expects to get another $9 million from the December stimulus, but that money is tied up in the state. The December stimulus allocated $700 million in rent relief to North Carolina. While some went directly to populous municipalities like Durham, about $550 million went directly to the state for allocation. As of Friday, none of that amount has been allocated. Laura Hogshead, Chief Operation Officer of the State Office of Recovery and Resiliency, or NCORR, told the NNO in March the delay is due to state legislation restricting how NCORR can allocate the aid. NCORR operates the Housing Opportunities and Prevention of Evictions program. The HOPE program at one time offered rent relief statewide from federal funding, but it ran out of money in November and hasn't accepted applications since. The American Rescue Plan, additional federal stimulus signed by President Joe Biden in March, allocated another $21 billion in rent relief nationwide. But Rose said that the U.S. Treasury hasn't announced state and municipality allocations, and he doesn't expect that aid to be ready for another few months. Meanwhile, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's nationwide eviction moratorium expires June 30th. Without adequate rental assistance, housing advocates expect a wave of evictions after the moratorium ends. Rose said he would like to see that extended for at least another 90 days to give time for more rental aid to be dispersed. I understand landlords are in a pinch. I totally get that, but it would be nice if it can be extended, Rose said. While we're seeing the economy bounce back, especially in Durham, I still don't think we're quite there yet. A federal court in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday ruled that the CDC lacks the authority to enforce such a wide-reaching moratorium, but the Department of Justice has appealed. And the ruling doesn't affect enforcement of the CDC order in North Carolina, the NNO reported earlier this week. Durham renters can start applying for aid at 12:01 p.m. Monday by visiting durhamerap.conc.gov. The online URL will go live on Monday, officials said. To qualify, applicants must make 80% or below the area median income in Durham, but Rose said the program would prioritize those at 50% or below due to guidelines from the federal government. The median household income in Durham is about $59,000, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. Rose said applicants can verify their income either through their 2020 tax return or through a recent check stub. Applicants must also have qualified for unemployment, had their income reduced, or incurred a significant financial cost due to the pandemic. Ross said that the goal of the program is to have rental aid to those accepted within 14 days. For those without internet, Durham is working with 5 community partners to meet that need. El Centro Hispano, Community Action Advocacy Restoration and Empowerment, or CAARE, Center for Home Ownership, Community Empowerment Fund, and the Church World Service. Next, Amazon to bring new center and 500 jobs to Johnson County. Amazon is planning another major expansion in the Triangle with a $100 million distribution and fulfillment center in the works for Smithfield, Johnson County officials announced Monday. The company will build a 620,000 square foot warehouse in the West Smithfield Industrial Park by 2022 that will create 500 jobs paying at least $15 an hour. By welcoming Amazon here, we have embarked on a new era of growth with an immediate impact on job creation and a ripple effect on every aspect of our local economy, Smithfield Mayor Andy Moore said Monday when the project was announced at a public hearing in Johnson County. Direct and ancillary job growth will bring an estimated $97 million in annual revenue to the town and county, according to an economic analysis by NC State University economist Michael Walden that was presented by county officials. The projected date for full creation of 500 jobs is 2024. Jobs at the Fulfillment Center will offer competitive pay with benefits and health insurance, a 401k with a 50% match, and paid parental leave, according to the town and county. Workers also will have access to Amazon's Career Choice program, which prepays 95% of tuition for training courses in high-demand industries. Amazon will receive a local incentive package funded through taxes incrementally paid to the town and county that won't be a cost to taxpayers. By 2024, Amazon will be the town's largest taxpayer, officials said. Amazon has found a home in North Carolina, and we are excited about this latest announcement for Smithfield, Roy Cooper, our governor, said in a news release. Our world-class workforce is ready to step up and make the new state-of-the-art facility a strong link in the company's supply chain. A new Amazon delivery station facility will come to Fayetteville and bring hundreds of jobs, the company announced last week. Amazon delivery stations are also set to open in the next year in Raleigh and Garner, the News and Observer reported previously. Amazon currently has 5 fulfillment and sort centers in North Carolina, including one in Garner. The company has created over 27,000 full-time and part-time jobs in the state and invested more than $2.1 billion across the state, according to company figures. Monday's announcement comes after Fortune 500 company Berry Global announced last month it would make a $70 million investment by expanding its facility in Benson, creating 63 new jobs for Johnson County. Berry Global will receive the same county incentive package based on taxes paid that Amazon will get. The company, based in Evansville, Indiana, makes plastic packaging and non-woven fabrics, including disinfectant wipes. Next, states push jobless to return to work. Eduardo Rivero is hoping Vermont's reinstated requirement that people who are collecting unemployment benefits must seek work to qualify will help him hire enough staff for his restaurant in the resort town of Stowe. After more than a year of coronavirus restrictions on his business, Picasso Pizzeria and Lounge, he's expecting a breakout summer tourism season. But like employers across the country, he's worried he won't have enough workers. "We've been getting many excuses as to why not to return," said Rivetto, who is offering a signing bonus of up to $600 to try to add 15 to 20 employees, who agreed to stay through the middle of October. "Obviously, it was a legitimate one with COVID, but, you know, I think that's getting used less and less now. The vaccines are free, and they're out there for anyone." Many employers are telling similar stories. 14 months after COVID-19 put hundreds of thousands of people out of work, the U.S. economy is rebounding and employers are desperate for workers. The challenge was highlighted Friday when employers nationwide added 266,000 jobs, far fewer than expected, and businesses reported they couldn't find people to fill the openings they have to keep up with the rapidly strengthening economic rebound. To encourage people to return to work, more states are making it harder for people to stay on unemployment. Many blame the benefits that followed the pandemic, including what is now a $300 a week supplemental federal payment on top of state benefits. The argument is that people make more money staying home than going back to work. Several states have begun requiring those receiving unemployment benefits to show they are actively searching for work, and a few will stop providing the additional federal supplement. It's not just the hospitality sector that is scrambling to fill positions. Aileen Candles, based in Milford, New Hampshire, is looking to fill 1,500 positions for its facility there, and another in New Albany, Ohio, to meet demand for the holiday season. Company representatives will be participating in a number of virtual job fairs this month. "We have had more than 100 positions open since the start of the year, and just recently we increased sign-on bonuses to $1,200 for hourly positions, in part because we are competing with an entity that can print its own money, the federal government, and its $300 per week additional unemployment benefit," said CEO Rod Harrell. I would love to welcome those searching for work to join our team. On Monday, New Hampshire reopened its job centers for the first time since the pandemic hit to help people looking for work, but only a handful showed up the first few hours at the largest one in Manchester. Labor experts say the shortage is not just about the $300 payment. Some employed people also have been reluctant to look for work because they fear catching the virus. Others have found new occupations rather than return to their old jobs. Many women, especially working mothers, have had to leave the workforce to care for children. The details and the timing of the state-led efforts to get people back to work differ, but they are coming from states led by both Republicans and Democrats. In addition to Vermont, states reinstating the work search requirement include Arizona, Maine, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and South Carolina. Arkansas, Mississippi, Montana, South Carolina are planning to stop accepting the $300 benefit. In announcing last week that beginning June 27th, unemployed workers will no longer receive the $300 benefit, Montana Governor Greg Gianforte said it was doing more harm than good. Rachel Mata, an area manager for a Fayetteville, North Carolina-based staffing company, said it's been increasingly difficult to find people for positions since the passage of the latest federal COVID-19 relief bill. At a recent job fair, only one candidate showed up, said Mata, whose company, Mega Force Staffing Group, Inc., mainly focuses on manufacturing jobs. In other cases, candidates have gone through the staffing company's onboarding process only to not show up on their start date. In Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the heart of the state's $20 billion tourism industry, restaurants and resorts are scrambling for summer help. Angelo Verdoni, an assistant general manager at Seaside Resorts, said hotels are so short-staffed that managers are working double duty, cleaning rooms and doing maintenance. He is working some front desk shifts. Some applicants have responded to ads but failed to attend the interviews. Others have gotten offers but did not show up to the job itself. Though the company has offered a $500 sign-on bonus for its $11 an hour housekeeping role, it got no takers. There might be a lot of jobs available, but in some cases they don't fit for the unemployed with specialized work skills. I am a master technician with 30 years experience. You think I'm going to go work in a pet store? Said Harry Chaikin, an out-of-work stagehand from Burlington, Vermont, who lost his job last year when the theater that he worked stopped offering performances. Chaikin said that he is eager to return to work when theaters resume normal performances. He is receiving unemployment, including the $300 supplemental benefit, but he's still months behind in his rent. Next, White House to work with states on work search requirements. President Joe Biden said Monday the White House will make it clear that Americans on unemployment must take a job if offered a suitable one or lose their benefits, wading into an issue Republicans have seized on in the past week. The White House said it is directing the Department of Labor to work with states on reimposing work search requirements for Americans collecting unemployment benefits. The Labor Department will soon issue a letter of reaffirmation for the rules of unemployment to ensure that workers, employers, and states understand the rules of the program, the White House said. Biden reiterated the administration disputes GOP claims that April's jobs data released Friday shows unemployment benefits are too generous and are causing workers to stay home rather than rejoin the workforce. The White House did not announce a departure from prior policy on unemployment benefits. Still, the president's remarks suggest the White House is sensitive to the growing political criticism over its handling of the issue. Several GOP-run states are moving to cut unemployment benefits on their own. We're going to make it clear that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment, Biden said. There are a few COVID-19-related exceptions, but otherwise, that's the law. The White House has been forced on the defensive over some worrisome economic news this month, with April's jobs report showing a slowdown in the pace of job gains. Business groups such as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce have said the supplemental unemployment benefits approved by Biden in March are discouraging workers from rejoining the workforce and stalling economic recovery. Democrats and the president have responded by urging patience and noting other factors, such as ongoing concerns about COVID-19 and the lack of available child care for working parents. Biden's new message on Monday was primarily to demonstrate how the unemployment system works and underscore that the White House does not believe the benefits are to blame for the labor shortage, according to a senior administration official who spoke on the condition of anonymity because she was not authorized to speak publicly. States waived their work requirements for unemployment benefits at the start of the pandemic, but 39 of them have reimposed or are planning to reimpose them. About 18 million Americans are collecting some form of unemployment benefits. The White House also sees this week as an important gauge for whether Biden can gain any bipartisan support for his $2.3 trillion jobs and infrastructure plan, which comes in addition to a $1.8 trillion proposal for expanding services such as child care, education, and paid leave. Biden is scheduled to host the four top congressional leaders at the White House on Wednesday and plans to meet with six Senate Republicans on Thursday as he makes one of the most concerted efforts at winning Republican votes since he took office. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, said last week that he was focused on stopping this new administration. But on Sunday, he told a PBS station in Kentucky that he could support up to $800 billion in infrastructure spending. Biden was also meeting privately on Monday with two more moderate Democrats who are vital to his efforts, Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat from West Virginia, and Senator Tom Carper, Democrat from Delaware. Manchin has expressed concern over Biden's proposed level of spending, as well as the White House's push to raise corporate tax rates. Biden has frequently pledged to unite the country and usher in a more bipartisan era, but none of his major plans have attracted Republican votes. And while White House aides often point to public polling to show that his plans have support from Republican voters, they are eager to show that he can also win over GOP lawmakers. Next, with loans secured, construction poised to begin this year on Midtown Exchange Project. Developers are inching closer toward starting construction on what will be one of Raleigh's largest commercial mixed-use developments. Raleigh developer DeWitt Carolina secured a $40 million senior loan to fund the initial construction of the $1 billion Midtown Exchange office, retail, and housing development in the city's Midtown area, north of downtown, commercial real estate firm Avison Young announced. The sizable development, first announced in late 2019, is long in the making. Midtown Exchange will span roughly 40 acres and will feature the first of a pair of 12-story office towers for its first phase. The project is slated to have over 300,000 square feet of commercial space when completed by the end of 2022, developers told the News and Observer previously. Construction will also begin on a high-rise residential building by the end of the year. The entire build-out will take 7 to 10 years to complete. Upon completion, Midtown Exchange will include 790,000 square feet of office space, 1,275 residential units between apartments and condos, 300 senior living units, 300 hotel rooms, 125,000 square feet of retail and restaurant space, and a convention center. The development is also set to include 7 acres of green space as a part of a park within the site. It's very rare to have a project of this scale in a dense and urban setting, especially in such a high-growth market, said Avison Young, Principal West Boatwright, in a news release. The site is located at 900 St. Albans Drive at the intersection of St. Albans and Benson Drives, near the intersection of Wake Forest Road and the northeastern I-440 Beltline. Nearby downtown the I-440 corridor, Kane Realty Corporation's North Hills District will neighbor Midtown Exchange. Kane Realty announced last year that North Hills would undergo major expansions. DeWitt Carolinas is optimistic about the future office retail estate market, CEO Todd Seed previously told the News and Observer. We still think that the demand of corporate relocation in the Raleigh area is strong and will remain strong, so we're fairly bullish on absorption and creation of office space, said Saeed. A slew of major tech and life science corporations announced plans to come to Wake County this year, including Apple's plans to build an East Coast campus in Research Triangle Park. We have run out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.